When I came and told the Persian of the poor result of my visit to Monsieur Poligny, the daroga gave a faint smile and said, "Poligny never knew how far that extraordinary blackguard of an Eric humbugged him." The Persian, by the way, spoke of Eric sometimes as a demigod and sometimes as the lowest of the low. Poligny was superstitious, and Eric knew it. Eric knew most things about the public and private affairs of the opera. When Monsieur Poligny heard a mysterious voice tell him in Box 5 of the manner in which he used to spend his time and abuse his partner's confidence, he did not wait to hear any more. Thinking at first that it was a voice from heaven, he believed himself damned. And then when the voice began to ask for money, he saw that he was being victimized by a shrewd blackmailer to whom Debienne himself had fallen a prey. Both of them, already tired of management for various reasons, went away without trying to investigate further into the personality of that curious OG who had forced such a singular memorandum book upon them. They bequeathed the whole mystery to their successors and heaved a sigh of relief when they were rid of a business that had puzzled them without amusing them in the least. I then spoke of the two successors and expressed my surprise that, in his Memoirs of a Manager, Monsieur Moncharmin should describe the opera ghost's behavior at such length in the first part of the book and hardly mention it at all in the second. In reply to this, the Persian, who knew the memoirs as thoroughly as if he had written them himself, observed that I should find the explanation of the whole business if I would just recollect the few lines which Moncharmin devotes to the ghost in the second part aforesaid. I quote these lines, which are particularly interesting because they describe the very simple manner in which the famous incident of the 20,000 francs was closed. As for O.G., some of whose curious tricks I have related in the first part of my memoirs, I will only say that he redeemed by one spontaneous fine action all the worry which he had caused my dear friend and partner, and I am bound to say myself. He felt no doubt that there are limits to a joke, especially when it is so expensive and when the commissary of police has been informed. For at the moment when we had made an appointment in our office with Monsieur Mifroy to tell him the whole story, a few days after the disappearance of Christine Daae, we found on Richard's table a large envelope inscribed in red ink with O.G.'s compliments. It contained the large sum of money which he had succeeded in playfully extracting for the time being from the treasury. Richard was at once of the opinion that we must be content with that and drop the business. I agreed with Richard. All's well that ends well. What do you say, O.G.? Of course, Moncharmin, especially after the money had been restored, continued to believe that he had, for a short while, been the butt of Richard's sense of humor, whereas Richard, on his side, was convinced that Moncharmin had amused himself by inventing the whole of the affair of the opera ghost in order to revenge himself for a few jokes.